you know, if you want to go fast, you go by yourself, but if you want to go far, you go together. And so, you know, everything I've done since day one of Panero Construction has been to hire a team and leverage the production value that we would get out of that. So
you're listening to the Constructing You podcast. Hi, I'm Eleanor Mosher, and I'll be sharing the stories of the people behind the projects. You'll get to hear interviews with exceptional leaders and industry titans in the construction and development space. I don't only want to find out what they do, but who they are and who they had to become to achieve what they have. You'll get insights, ideas, and advice that will serve to construct your career and life to reach new heights and show you what's possible. Let's go on this journey to construct ourselves together. You ready? Failure is only fatal if you consider it to be your finale. But if you do that, you're not giving yourself the chance to get back out there and do exceptional and exemplary things. And this is exactly what my next guest has done and more. Meet the serial entrepreneur who won't give up. Sunny Pinero has battled back from losing everything in 2008 to building an award-winning commercial construction company in 2021. Since launching Pinero Construction in 2015, Sunny has led the company to 117% growth and built some of the coolest projects with the most awesome people on the West Coast of the United States. Through it all, Sunny has guided teams to complete over 500 projects in retail, restaurant, and office industry. Tapping into decades of experience and partnerships, Sunny has brought a building simplified experience to his customers. Growing up in San Diego, as the oldest child of two small business owners, it was inevitable that he follow in their footsteps. A jack of all trades, he regularly extends his knowledge and passion to mentor and coach other contractors and business owners. Sunny has a beautiful wife, Jody, which they recently celebrated 18 years together, and they have two daughters that mean the world to him. The Pinero family can be found in the desert or the mountains of California any time of the year, camping, skiing, off-roading, and horseback riding. Wanting to pay it forward, Sunny finds fulfillment in giving back to the community and is an advocate for helping nonprofits focused around kids. Supporting nonprofits involved with therapeutic horse riding, alternative education programs, and nonprofits that gift school supplies and shoes to children that need it. You can, of course, connect with Sunny on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Sunny Pinero. Now listen close. Because there are some guests who just simply embody the essence of what Constructing You is about. You're going to learn the value of mentoring and having the right support circle and the team of advisors to make sure that you level up. Sunny really did lose it all in 2008, but he's going to tell you where he is now and what it really takes. Because what he did, you have the same ability that if you fall to get back up there and make something so exemplary of yourself all over again. Sunny shares incredible business insights as well, that either if you are starting up or well into the game, there is something in this episode for you. So as always, if you love what you are listening to, connect with me and tell me what value you got from this episode. It's at @EleanorMosher_ on Instagram and @EleanorMosher on LinkedIn. Without any further ado, here's to Constructing You with Sunny Pinero. Good morning, Sunny, and welcome to Constructing You.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent. And one of my favorite things is when someone listens to a podcast and then I get them on the podcast. It's a great feedback loop.
Yeah, no, it's great. I was, when you reached out, I was very surprised, you know, and honored to actually be requested to be on. But, you know, I've been following you since, you know, the Procore founder was on and we use Procore and stuff. So it was nice to be able to put two and two together.
I'll have to put this episode right in front of the Procore team as well. But let's start off. Can you tell us about the value and the work that Bonero Construction delivers to the marketplace?
Yeah, so we're a commercial contractor. We do a lot of restaurants, retail spaces, offices, you know, things that you'd see sort of in the commercial sector. We don't do any residential work. We don't do any maintenance and service, that sort of stuff. But traditionally, places that you might, you know, go visit for lunch or dinner, or, you know, retail stores you might visit to shop at, or offices for lawyers and accounting, you know, things like that. So we mostly basically are building businesses.
I love that. You should make that your tagline.
Yeah, building businesses. I've used it for a little while. Yep.
Yeah, all yours. And they are certainly some of my favorite spaces, which of course, what drew me into the work that you do. But for the audience to get to know you really quickly, let's lay some fast foundations. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego when I was a younger kid. And then my parents had moved, you know, in the early 90s up to the Pacific Northwest. So Seattle is where I went to high school. And then I also went to college up in Washington. So I kind of spent some transformative years in San Diego and then up in Seattle.
And where do you live now?
I live in northern San Diego County.
And what's your superpower?
Oh, man, what's my superpower? You know, it's probably problem solving and then execution from that problem, right? And it's just kind of getting up after something happened or solving a problem when something goes sideways, you know, just trying to execute on the challenges we face as business owners and entrepreneurs.
I did a business entrepreneurial mastermind with my mentor, Ron Malhotra, and he taught us what are the key skills that business founders or entrepreneurs need to have. And execution was on there. And why is execution considered a skill? Because that is precisely what business owners don't do at the right time on the right front of their business. Would you agree?
Yeah, I couldn't say that I always execute properly at the right times, but Yeah, through some of the DISC profiles that I've taken in the past, and they kind of show, you know, how you interact normally and then maybe even under stress. And so, you know, I'm a strong implementer, and especially when I get stressed or there's stressful situations, that kind of shoots off the chart a little bit. So I definitely go into execution mode whenever I need to.
Oh, it's certainly not a skill that is reserved for those in the business world, but to everyone, because the transformation that people are always looking for is in the execution.
Absolutely.
What's one of your favorite books?
Oh, one of my favorite books. You know, the two I go back to are probably ones that kind of got me into thinking bigger. And a simple read is Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. You know, more in-depth one is probably like The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, which that's a little bit harder of a read. And, you know, the general sense of those books were kind of transformative for me and my career and what I wanted to accomplish.
I remember in reading The Power of Now when he introduced the concept that you are not your mind is a separate entity to you. And I was in a paradigm shift for weeks. I just couldn't fathom that concept. But of course, it makes sense now. It's a very powerful and very dense book.
It definitely is. And I know a lot of people have tried to pick it up and how to set it back down. And that's what I've done with some books. You know, some books just, you know, you don't connect with at the time and, you know, put those aside and then pick them back up. But once I was able to power through and I felt connected with that book, you know, sort of being in the zone and taking the simple ideas from the book is key.
I always believe that books find you. We don't find the books.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you most challenged by right now?
You know, in business, I think it's being at a point where I'm a leader in a business that's larger than I've ever been before. So I'm constantly having to grow as a leader, and that's challenging.
What does that growth look like for you?
I spend a lot of time reading. Over my course of my career or just life in general, I've always, you know, felt that there was a power in collective wisdom. And so my second half of my career, I've spent a lot of time trying to get into mentoring groups or networks to be around similar minded people that are not necessarily on the same path, but maybe are headed in the right direction and being able to learn from them. So, you know, those are a couple areas. And then obviously I'm, you know, have a personal coach and you know, spend time discussing business and things that we're dealing with in life. And you know, it's always nice to have other people to bounce ideas off of and get different perspectives.
And what is one thing you are learning then right now?
Right now, I am working on setting and being the example. And so as a leader, I haven't always done a good job in all areas of my life to be successful. And so I'm working on my health, my family time, you know, things that I've kind of sacrificed, you know, building the business and getting into that rut. So, you know, right now I'm working on myself and, you know, trying to grow personally.
And what is your favorite achievement to date?
Oh, man. I don't know. Just recently we were on the Inc. 5000 list. That was pretty cool as a business. Having a successful company, having things going right in life, you know, and getting through the struggles that I've had previously, you know, is certainly, you know, where I'm proud of.
And your favorite building or project?
We've done some pretty notable projects, but, you know, one of the ones that kind of kicked off everything for us back in 2015 was just a small tenant improvement for a restaurant brand called the Halal Guys. It just seemed to go really well. The client was great. And that kicked us off to end up doing about 12 projects for that same brand. And then we ended up helping consult with the franchise on about 60 other projects. And so, you know, although it's not very notable or large, it kind of was that project that kind of got us going and got us some, you know, movement with Panero to be able to get to where we are now.
And to wrap up Fast Foundations, an experience that makes you feel alive.
I love helping clients build their businesses. I love, you know, helping coach other contractors that need or looking for help to get where I am or, you know, progress in their businesses.
And that's a key part of, you know, what we do as mentors is I was stuck. I became unstuck. I see you're stuck. Let me help get you unstuck. And that's how we all progressively enable others to move forward and achieve our own dreams.
Yeah, I think it's imperative. And everyone has their own unique experiences. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times where you just haven't been through that one thing. And sometimes when you're going through that or stuck, like you say, you know, it could seem like it's like there's no way out, you know, but having someone to bounce ideas off of or coach you through, that's huge.
As much as we think our problems are unique to ourselves, there is certainly someone who has experienced that and has already found the solution for us to bypass the time to get to where we want to go. But let's go into your career trajectory. Can you walk us through your journey to date, including some of your definitive experiences and challenges that you've had to overcome that prompted you to found Panero?
Well, I'll try to keep it as short as I can, but you know, I've had a pretty interesting career path. You know, I had parents who were business owners, you know, sort of the traditional business owner. I kind of look at it a little bit different than maybe what people look at as entrepreneurs now, but it almost seemed like a foregone conclusion that that was certainly something I'm capable of or that's available to me to do in my future. And so I actually started working for my parents' company right out of college. Unfortunately, within a few years, they ended up getting a divorce, and I was sort of in a rough spot, you know, either going to go, you know, work for my dad or for my mom or, you know, go get another job. And ultimately, I decided just to go out on my own. So I started my first construction company when I was 25 years old. This was about 2006. And I had not planned for or even considered that we'd go through the massive recession that we did here, at least in the States. You know, and so as a contractor, we were doing well, we were building stores, restaurants all over the West Coast. You know, we're stocking, you know, still a small contractor, but I ended up not getting paid on a couple of projects. Some of the banks that were financing them had pulled financing about halfway through. And this is, you know, at the height of the recession. And so actually I had to close that business down and navigate how to pay bills, you know, claim bankruptcy, you know, get employees moved on to other, you know, other employment, you know, navigate all sorts of stuff and try to do it the right way. So we actually ended up finishing a couple projects, you know, during that time period, got everything, you know, kind of pushed off my plate properly. But I learned a lot from that. I learned that, you know, you need your board of advisors, you know, and when I say that, just, you know, from a small contractor standpoint or an entrepreneur standpoint, you know, you're going to want your attorney involved, your CPA involved, your insurance agent, a mentor for sure, or a coach, you know, and then probably your banker. And then last, if you're doing well, is probably a financial advisor. And, you know, having these people in your corner are going to help you set yourself up for success if you don't have already a group of people around you that you can lean on. And that was certainly not something that I had in my corner, or I thought about my first go around with business. And so that was a huge challenge to get through. By the time I was 30, I'd already built a seven-figure business and then lost it all. And making the decision to actually step away from that was challenging, you know, but I learned a lot. And then I went into consulting, and I ended up, you know, helping out a couple home improvement contractors and then another commercial construction company build their businesses. And it was the same sort of projection at those companies. I had the same result I had for mine, is where we, you know, started sales, helped them get organized in their business. And this is obviously after the recession, but, you know, we took them from, you know, six figures to multiple seven figures. And each time we would do that, the business owner sort of got in their own way. Like there was like this, they had their own temperature where they couldn't, you know, once it got hot enough for them, they weren't comfortable with it. And so they, you know, didn't want to grow anymore, or they just didn't see the capabilities of growing more. And so after about a 5-year stretch from about 2010 to about 2015, helping two or three other companies, I decided that it was important for me to go see what I could actually do, you know, with things, you know, untethered, without having someone else that, you know, had to make the decisions. You know, when you're consulting for a company, it's really up to that company to execute. But I really kind of started Panero as a way to find out what I'm capable of, and, you know, take all those experiences, good and bad, and put them together, you know, successfully. And so doing it now at 42 years old is certainly not easier, but we're being able to execute at a lot higher level than I ever thought I could, or that I had done in the past. So that's kind of, you know, a short version of what I've been through and where and what I did to get to where I'm at now.
Do you want to become more than just a technically apt person behind the projects who feels stuck, lost, and invisible? Wouldn't you rather attain higher remuneration, more recognition, and faster progression for your career? Become the exemplary, excellent, and exceptional constructor that you were destined to be in the industry. Head to theconstructioncoach.com.au and start your transformative journey today to construct your exceptional future.
Fascinating. Sunny, thank you for sharing that. And I can't even imagine in the moment of, you know, being in a recession like the States experienced, not getting the funding, having projects on the line, it must have felt defeating. But not just that, you lost it all and you started again. And that's what most people are scared of when they're standing at the outset of a journey, is what about if it fails? What if this? What if that? So how did you not let these challenges defeat you, but clearly define you?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know, going through that at 27, 28 years old, you know, and then it taking a year or two to kind of build out of that was certainly challenging. But you know what I found myself doing during that time period is I still messed around with entrepreneurship. I still messed around with, you know, creating companies. And I say messed around with because the economy was pretty bad and I did whatever I could at the time. So I created a landscape company for a little bit. And, you know, just because I loved doing that process, I loved the, you know, being the business owner and working through those and the challenges of getting things set up and hiring and sales and dealing with, you know, working with clients and helping them out and providing value. So I don't know if I would do this, even if I didn't, you know, I'd probably do this even if I didn't get paid. You know, it's never really been about the money for me. And so, you know, I do think that success is having failure, but learning from it and getting back up after it. You know, I think that, you know, the only time failure is bad is if you actually really give up. You know, if you just completely you don't attack that same thing again, or you don't pivot and try it a different way. Right. And so, you know, years later, like, I wouldn't be where I'm at if that didn't happen. There's no possible way that I would get the same experience or knowledge of all the different things I had to go through. I'm not saying that, you know, I don't wish it on anyone for sure, but there's certainly things that I know how to do, strategies and tactics to help us be successful now that, you know, a lot of business owners still don't even pay attention to because they haven't been through, you know, what I did or what I went through.
Failure is only fatal if it's your finale. It shouldn't define a person unless they actually allow it to. And this is, you know, what you went through in your 20s. Imagine if you had given up and then your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you're not actually living out what you should be doing because of that one event. And that's what most people end up doing, which is, of course, leaving so much opportunity on the table. But I want to circle back on one thing which you said, which is business owners getting in their own way. And this is people creating their own internal ceiling, even if they are at, you know, $1 million or $2 million or $10 million, they've hit their own ceiling, whatever that is. So how can people identify that they've hit their own internal ceiling, and what should they be doing to break through this?
Well, I think we have to distinguish that ceiling is self-imposed, and it's not something that is set in stone, right? Like, I just think that there's a certain point where people get too uncomfortable with the experience, you know, or maybe they haven't leveraged the things that they have to get past that point. You know, like in my 20s, you know, I used to think that I had to do it all, that I was the one to stay late. I was the one who got stuff done. I was the one who had to, you know, power through. And so what I've done now is that we leveraged a team. I built a team around me through the years to take on that work. And so I'm vulnerable to my advisors. I'm vulnerable to even my team sometimes to have them help, right? And so I think our goal is just to do, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know how someone could be happy if they're not trying to do their very best and everything that they can, you know, along the way. And so, you know, I'm in a constant level of push, and don't get me wrong, I'm not successful at, you know, all of the different areas, but I think there's certainly times where, you know, people have either self-sabotaged, you know, some decisions, or, you know, and that's simple things like not continuing to attack the process and make the sales calls the next day. Maybe it's that they have enough business and so they don't think they need to do more when they actually could do more. And, you know, part of my mentality has always been, well, I owe it to everyone else to do my best. And so I owe it to show up today, regardless of how well I'm doing. It's like, well, I have a team to take care of. I have clients to take care of. My clients have their teams to take care of. And so, you know, there's so much value that can be added if you don't realize your full potential. And I'm not saying just in business. It could be in sports. It could be in being an artist. Like, you know, if that's what you love, then you should be pushing yourself to be, you know, the best version of yourself you can in whatever you want to be, you know.
That is an extremely valuable lesson. And that is, yes, of course, in any arena, but it is a disservice to your family, to your friends, to the cat and the dog who you're not spending time with them because you're working on your business. And if that business or any venture is not successful, it's like you have to go and respond to all of these stakeholders, not just yourself, but to everyone else around you. And also a very important lesson that you mentioned before that I want to highlight, people should not miss this, that you don't have to front it alone. It is imperative that you surround yourself with the best of the best so that you can be said best.
Absolutely.
And I also wanted to get you on the show because of your aligned perspective of placing the value and importance of the people behind the project. And as you mentioned before, you've successfully led your team to rank number 145 on the Inc. 5000 regionals in the California 2021 list, which is an incredible achievement. So, Sunny, can we get your insights into what are your key principles to developing high performance teams?
Well, some of the things that I've adopted over time and came to realize is that when I hire or bring in someone onto our team, it starts with core values, and they have to align with those for the company for it to be a successful relationship. So whenever we're looking to bring someone on the team, it's definitely has to be the right fit. It's not necessarily experience. It's not necessarily how good they are at what they do. It really comes down to, you know, how they fit, how their core values align. And I've always found that those people execute, you know, at a higher level within a system, you know, what if you can dial that in. You know, the second thing that I've adopted over time is, you know, I used to take everything on, and I kind of mentioned this a minute ago, that I used to felt like I had to do everything. And then the second stage of that was, okay, well, now build a team and delegate. And so delegating worked, and delegating is definitely a learned skill. And then, but what I've been able to do with our current team is that I delegate authority. And so I don't just delegate responsibility, I delegate authority. And then that allows people to take ownership more of that role. And it also, it makes it so I'm not the bottleneck, which I think can happen, you know, in a lot of any scenario where there's a leader, you know, on a team and in a family or in business. If everyone keeps looking to that one person for these decisions or authority, then you're not going to be able to move fast enough when you need to. And so maybe something else that I've learned and certainly learned the lesson personally is, you know, failure is where you learn. I don't learn much from the successes. You know, I really learn, like, you learn your lesson. I heard it the other day, old proverb or something, it goes something along the lines of, if it happens once, it's probably not going to happen again. But if it happens twice, it's probably going to happen a third time. Right. So I kind of take that as like, learn your lesson, you know, fix that and move on and pay attention to those things that happen. So those are sort of like three key things that I've done that's helped me be successful, or, you know, helped our team be successful.
The important one, well, they're all important, but the one that stood out for me was being able to enable your people to do what they need to do and not being that bottleneck, that still having that extreme authority and extreme control that doesn't really give them the freedom to make their own mistakes or to feel comfortable bringing new ideas or whatever it is to the table.
Yeah, I mean, it's been huge for us. So I have project managers that can sign contracts. I have accounting staff that pays bills and manages money, and I don't deal with a lot of that stuff. I mean, I've put parameters in place to track, and scenarios that I've put in front of them that if these things happen, then this happens, right? But if I had to do all those tasks, you know, we're certainly not going to be able to move forward as a company. And it kind of removes some control, or the feeling that you don't have control. Which I think has been a challenge for, you know, people that I've coached, or, you know, certainly peers that are entrepreneurs, you know, kind of letting go of certain areas of their business and kind of putting parameters in place to manage it versus them having to manage it themselves, I think is really key.
Now, one thing that you mentioned before was getting businesses from 6 to 7 figures. And I'm sure there's people listening that would just want the answer. Tell me how to get it. So you have, of course, achieved great growth in your own business and project capability, but obviously in that of others. So what do you know now about your entrepreneurial journey that you really wish you knew when you started?
Oh, well, I mean, we've already touched on it a few times, but you know, if you want to go fast, you go by yourself. But if you want to go far, you go together. And so, you know, everything I've done since day one of Panero Construction has been to hire a team and leverage the production value that we would get out of that. So, you know, I chose to make less money initially to hire roles and functions and build our team so that the company can make more money or produce or scale easier with a larger team. And so, you know, I'm a little bit more of a strategic guy and tactical versus high level stuff, but it's definitely made a huge impact on the success of my business. It, you know, is not, you know, not getting myself in a situation where, you know, I was taking too much of a paying myself too much that I couldn't grow the business. And that's certainly a challenge for, you know, a lot of contractors that I talk to regularly, that they were tradesmen, and then the natural progression for a tradesman, you know, that's really good is to become a contractor. But then once they became a contractor, you know, they were kind of stuck doing the books themselves, the sales, the estimating, all this sort of stuff, because they've created a lifestyle that they had to pay for behind the scenes on that. And so they took that route first versus building, you know, the estimating and the sales and the production crews first, and then building the life you want. So that was certainly something that helped me build Panero in the last 6 years. You know, that was a key part.
How do you select the people in your own personal circle of influence or your board of advisors? Because when most people, I guess, look at the people around them today, they sort of were chosen by default, and then they go to the same people for that advice. But even your circle of influence should be by design, not by default. So how do you choose these A players?
Well, I think you have to experience a lot of different types of people, you know, certainly get yourself out there. And I think first it starts with having an abundance mindset, right? So if you don't have an abundance mindset, you're going to be closed off to sharing information, because in any sort of relationship, you have to provide value, you know, back and forth traditionally for it to be, you know, a successful relationship. But, you know, as I grew my business, starting out with Panero, there's certainly people that you can reach out to become mentors for yourself, so that you can talk with them about business. I have a couple larger general contractors that over the years I've reached out to and asked a couple questions and been able to build some relationships there for that. But if you don't have that access to some people, then you need to be able to pay for it, right? And it's sort of pay to play. So it's the same thing with, like, you know, hire a coach, you know, hire a consultant. We touched on the advisory board members that I suggest, you know, those are all just service providers, but you want people who you get along with, you know, people that are familiar with what you do in business. You know, that'll help the business side of things. And then, you know, if you're just someone who's really interested in personal growth, you know, there's a lot of communities out there, you know, called masterminds or, you know, some other peer advisory groups and things like that. And I definitely suggest people get involved with those. And then, you know, within those groups, you'll end up surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded and are looking for the same type of information, but are still, you know, have their own experiences and have their own paths that they're going down. So there's enough diversity there to have value. But, you know, if you're just a person out there generally, and most of the people probably listening to your podcast, you know, probably feel a little lonely where they're at. There's a lot of people in my life that are not interested in the things that we're talking about right now. They're, you know, they either haven't been exposed to it, or, you know, it's not something that they feel that they could accomplish, or, you know, may not believe in. But, you know, I certainly think that there's value in joining, you know, some groups, you know, sort of pay to play to get yourself next to or within a network of people who are doing that. There's, you know, industry groups, there's business groups, there's, you know, hobby groups, all that sort of stuff.
There is certainly a plethora of resources out there, but we also need more resourcefulness. And so I want to highlight, you know, something that is very important to me, which is, of course, mentoring and coaching, and evidently important to getting you to where you are today. And that is the business that I'm in. And what I find is that people, they want it all. They will tell you that they want it all. But then when they actually have to make that one-time investment, not in me or not in you, but in themselves to get to where they want, they completely freeze. And you find that their dreams have a very small price tag when it actually comes to achieving what they want. What would you say to someone who has that fear of literally investing in themselves?
Well, I used to be this is going to be a tangent, but I used to be a skier, or I skied a lot more, let me say that. Like in high school, we went up to the mountain and skied a lot. And it wasn't until I got a ski trainer or coach that I actually really got better at skiing. And, you know, and the difference I knew was because, like, when I skied, my legs would burn, my quads would just be burning when I was going down the hill, or my legs would hurt, you know, things like that. And once I got the coach and he showed me these tips and tricks and tactics to ski better, it became much more enjoyable. It became much smoother. It became a lot easier on my body. And so I knew at that point that there are people, which are essentially coaches, that could help you take your game to the next level. And so I've never been opposed to coaching. I certainly was not thinking about it much in my 20s, but after going through what I went through, I've done everything I possibly could to surround myself with people who can give me answers and help me so I don't have to go through some of those challenges in the future. And so what coaches have done for me the last few years have, they've been able to take the time frame that it would have normally taken me to get to where I am and shorten that and condensed it. And when I've had a challenge, I've had someone to immediately talk something through with, you know, when I needed to, so I can pivot faster. You know, I think coaching, you know, consultants are super valuable for anyone who's interested in growing. And I don't know anyone who hasn't, you know, as long as they found the right person that meshes well with them, you know, personality wise, you know, I haven't found anyone who's ever regretted it. And most of the people that I hang out with spend, you know, anywhere from 5 to 6 figures with coaches, you know, or in, you know, programs that help them move their business forward. And so, you know, look at professional athletes. Professional athletes have, you know, fitness coaches, they have high performance mental coaches. Anything to give yourself an edge and, you know, help you work through things that you're doing is key. And you're only going to get that from coaches.
I couldn't agree more. And I could continue the whole episode focusing on mentoring and coaching. It's something that is very, I'm passionate about and close to my heart, but you're absolutely right. It's allowing you to bypass the time, but also to see what you can't see, because we are our own worst people, to actually hold up the mirror and see what is possible for ourselves.
Like, you don't know what you don't know, right?
Exactly.
And that's why you pay for that. And it certainly helps out.
Exactly. Because no matter how intelligent someone thinks, when you actually don't know what you don't know, you don't even know where to start looking, let alone the right questions to ask, let alone then how to piece it all together. And that isn't just the time factor, but there's the emotional investment that comes with the struggle and being stuck and constantly needing to pick yourself up instead of flowing, because this is the right way forward. So thank you for sharing that story with me. But what do you see commercial constructors needing to be exceptional at in the next 5 years? Of course, changing world, changing markets, to have an outstanding business.
What I've seen and what we focused on is being really detailed on our communication, on our processes and procedures. And, you know, it's just over the last 10 or 20 years, it's transformed so much of what we need to do. But, you know, communication, moving into the digital age, I think is key. You know, I mentioned earlier that we use Procore and it certainly helped us, you know, level up our business as well. But so much of everything is not necessarily about just building nowadays. You know, we have to contend with a lot of legal issues or, you know, jurisdictions with inspections, all that is becoming more difficult to do. And keeping yourself organized and on top of things, you know, is going to help a company, you know, in the future. And I think that digital side of stuff is huge.
It certainly is. And what it actually enables people to do, which I love, is to free them up from the burden of manual administration to do what we love doing best, which is building. But as we near the end of the interview, I need to get your leadership insight. So to start off with, can you finish this sentence? An exemplary, excellent, and exceptional leader is?
Someone who leads with courage and can get the best out of their team.
Certainly agree with courage. It is the attribute that precedes all other qualities, because if we don't have courage, we're not actually doing anything. But if you were to premise your leadership value on 3 principles, what would they be?
So mine are, you know, it's going to probably come down to like continuing to develop myself, you know, grow as a leader. You know, I've really, as you progress in your business or your life, you become less of a functional player and more of a leader, and you know, developing those skills are a huge part of your success and the difference you're going to make in the world. You know, I certainly believe that you can go, you know, further together. And so I'm all about collaboration, teamwork, you know, bringing everyone along, you know, through that process, you know. And the one that I'm working on the most right now that's a huge part of my life is setting the example. You know, there's tons of areas that I've would be considered probably successful in. And then there's certainly some areas that I've not been. And, you know, so I'm trying to build a well-rounded, you know, life with who I am as a person. And so I'm working on trying to set the example in all areas. And, you know, so I can lead. I think it allows you to lead more effectively when people see that you're doing, you know, what you're essentially preaching or coaching people on. And, you know, I think that that's really where people follow you, is they follow what you do and not necessarily what you say. And as a leader, you end up with a lot of followers, regardless of whether you like it or not. It's the burden that you have to carry now. So setting the example is definitely the thing that I'm working on the most.
It's something that always fascinates me with people who pre-qualify themselves a little bit too early of being leaders, is they're there to tell people how to be an expert or how to start up a business, whereas they have done none of these things. So especially when it comes to leaders, people have to look for their results, not just, as you said, what they say, but what they actually do. But is there something that people don't tell you about leadership that can only be garnered from experience?
Leadership has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the people that you're leading. And that could be really challenging for people who get themselves in a leadership position without understanding that. I mean, I think that, yeah, I don't know, you know, how else, you know, the best way to explain that, but it's no longer about you. When you're leading, you're the one who is the one who needs to be courageous when you have to be courageous. You're the one who has to step in. You're the one who has to help other people become their best. So.
Oh, exactly. You know, over time, we do find that it becomes less and less about us, but more about how we can constantly add value and how we can constantly serve. And what we find is the more that we get out of our own head and get out of our own way and step aside, the message just comes through us and we're able to reach more and more people.
I think and just to add to that, I think that's where true like happiness also comes from.
Oh, yes.
Like I find a lot more joy out of that than, you know, buying another vehicle or, you know, having another item. It's certainly, you know, providing value and helping people. And, you know, that's not maybe what you would go to first. But once you can make it about other people, you'll find that you're getting a lot more fulfillment out of what you're doing.
Oh, that's right. You know, and I'm sure you've experienced the same, the feedback loop that you get when people say, I couldn't have done it without you. But my response was, it was always there. And, you know, it was already enabled within them. We were just the guidance and the support.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Sunny, thank you so much for your intense value and, you know, through everything that we preach on the podcast, through aligning yourself with incredible people, focusing on the people behind the project, you certainly epitomize it all. So to wrap up,
I appreciate it.
What is the key building block in your life that has been imperative to getting you to where you are today?
Oh, a building block. It's just, you know, having grit and perseverance, getting up when you don't want to, redoing something if you have to, or doing things that you don't want to do. It's always been perseverance. It's getting out of bed and getting going in the morning. So even when you don't feel like it.
Always. And that is never let people down. And this is a difference between those who achieve and those who don't, is that they will do what they need to do, whether they feel like it or not. Because if people are only going to do things when they feel like it, then you're only waiting for when you're happy. And, well, that's not a huge window of opportunity to do everything that you need to in this lifetime.
Yeah, I would challenge anyone that, you know, that the happiness is that they're looking for is going to be found once they're doing the work, once they feel accomplishment in what they do. And so it's, you know, it's about the process and attacking that versus, you know, the result.
Principles to live by and essentially to constructing you. Thank you again so much for your value, Sunny. And I hope that any ceiling that you do encounter, you just smash through, keep on growing, keep on achieving and serving others. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. If you loved this episode and know someone else in the industry who wants to achieve more and succeed on their own terms in their career by learning from the best, then please share this with them. You can also tag me on social media, sharing your greatest takeaways. And of course, I'd love to see you in the free Constructing You podcast Facebook group to be part of the growing community. Until the next episode, I want to see you win. Here's to constructing you.